Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, Top of a Horse with you. And what's going on, everybody? Happy Mother's Day. Everybody wished me a happy Mother's Day. I wonder why. But anyways, happy Mother's Day yesterday, and hope that you enjoyed and had a good time with your mom, or if you're the mom, yourself. And of course, we've got markets that, again, remain in this area of nobody gives a rat's ass. And, you know, this is the part of the pattern. This is the, we call this the waiting game. We call this the time of, you know, we got to relax and not try to fight or get in the way of the market. I think that this is, again, becomes things that we look at and we say, hey, you know, look, maybe we should just relax. Maybe we should go to the golf course, right? You know, look, you're not going to miss anything. This is not going to be, when the markets do decide to break out, and they could break out to the upside again, I may be bearish, but I could also see the potential of a breakout to the upside. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to sit back and kind of say, hey, you know, do I need to get involved and try to, you know, make my bones here and pick the top or the bottom or whatever? And I go, no, why would you? I mean, you know, again, the market itself is always right. It never gets sick. It never gets tired. So do you really want to get in the way of it? Are you really trying to fight what's going on? And of course, you know, we've got so far, no news is really bad news. And, you know, you look at, you know, what's going on in North Korea, you know, some more bombs dropping in the ocean, you know, the bombs bursting in air. And, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that nobody cares. But this is, again, remember one thing, greed always wins out. Until it doesn't. But nobody cares about anything because, again, the markets keep going up. And that's where, this is where you have to understand, okay, the order, the we call it following the money, the whole situation, because this is where you can see it. You know, nothing bad, nothing, news doesn't drive the market. North Korea is kind of factored in already. Nobody's worried about them. So the markets continue to work higher. Now, you know, if they're ready to go down, the news like that would drive them very hard. But they're not ready to go down. So you see, we ignore those things. We kind of move across away from those things. And now it's a, you know, the markets may pause on a, some of this information, but eventually they still want to try to work higher because, again, nobody cares about anything but themselves and their own wallet. And again, I don't blame them for that. I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but that's what you're seeing. And so, you know, why, you know, you have everybody telling you, you know, the great pundits, okay, that don't know their ass from their elbows, all right, telling you that, you know, that the volatility is on 25-year lows, which is incorrect. It's on 11-year lows. They tell you, you know, that the markets are going to go up, and they're starting with the terms of this time is different already. And, of course, well, we know. We're smarter than that. We know it's not different. We just know that it's going to take whenever it's ready, it'll be ready. And today ain't that day, and maybe it won't be tomorrow. But what we do know is that we have to be prepared and be set up. But again, it's not set up to be ahead of it. It's set up to react to it, indeed, when it does happen. And I think that becomes the bigger story that you look about, okay, is how are we going to be set up? Because, again, you've got the usual BS. We do not have the tax cuts yet. We do not have the health care done yet. We've got still the left trying to figure out ways to, more importantly, try to get Donald Trump impeached versus actually getting something done, which obviously doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, if you don't see your congressperson or your senator from your area, all right, now I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I obviously, I don't care. Okay. I don't think bad of you from either side. Okay. We all know that I was a Trump guy because I predicted it months ago and I picked him. So I'm not, again, but I don't care who you, I just wanted you to vote whoever you voted for. It doesn't matter to me because again, that's the society we live in. We have that freedom. But if your senator or your congressman is now trying to impede progress of this country, okay, and there's some Republicans too that are doing this, you know, quietly behind the scenes. We haven't recognized them all yet. But if your senator or your congressman is trying to impede progress, then that guy or gal is a jackass, and they need to be replaced. And that's where I think that we make this huge mistake of defining who we are. You know, Donald Trump now won the election. Seven months ago, right? Been in office for 4 months. Now, he's going to be in office for 4 years. And doesn't it make more sense to, instead of wasting all this negative energy and just wasting more time, you know, we don't get the time back, okay? If we're going to make a difference one way or the other, we don't get time. And that's what my warning to everybody is, you know, we could waste all this time trying to fight against what Trump is trying to do, or we can actually try to pitch in and try to make things better. I mean, really, it shouldn't matter who's in the office, okay, if the Americans are doing better. If everybody's doing better, it shouldn't really matter. And to go through and blame and try to, you know, torture all of these things and try to, you know, you have these the most ignorant arguments on air that I watch, and some people are just so dumb it's not even funny, okay? That we're talking about, you know, that Trump is responsible for the healthcare problems. I mean, now again, I'm not going to get too much more into this political thing. I'm just saying that it makes more sense to try to make the country better, no matter who's in the office. You know, it's going to rotate as it always has. You know, Republican, Democrat, whatever, and someday I'm sure a libertarian's going to win. Someday we're going to get past this phony garbage, and we're not going to have such a big ridiculous government. But that day is not today. So what we need to do today is we need to make it better, and we need to work on getting a healthcare plan that does benefit everybody. Okay, you know, and I think that's where, you know, what they should do is replace some of those ridiculous entitlement programs that we have and use part of that money to help the pre-existing condition people that can't get insured. Because once you get them insured, then they're insured and then they can go anywhere. But until they get insured, they got that problem. And I think that becomes the bigger problem. Now, when you look at the overall situation, we haven't been able to get the tax cuts. We haven't been able to do anything. And that is purely because there is people in the way trying to impede the progress. And again, that is not just a Democrat issue or a left issue. There's a few backstabbers on the right as well that are, of course, trying to do their thing as best they can. But again, that's where we need to come together as a country. And this is where we need to come together as people and say, hey, do we really want better? We want better for everybody. For me, you, my kids, their kids, and, you know, because we won't be here through it all, and we need to make it better before we leave. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and, of course, you know, libertytalk.fm, you get to download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge, and, you know, also, you know, we're now doing some sponsoring with Audible Books, so go to the Audible trial and check that out, and we're going to step out here for break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back to you after break with more. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's going on? And, you know, so... I don't know. We got lots of stuff going on, and yet markets are frozen in time, not really doing much. And, I don't know. I think when you look around and you kind of look and say, boy, these companies are getting rewarded for, once again, not as good as expected earnings. I think, when you lower the bar so much, isn't that kind of a shame? Do we really want to reward all these people for doing a lesser job? Are you concerned of where we're headed? When you look around and, maybe laughing right now or whatever, but you got Amazon trying to take over the world, putting everybody out of business. We've got so many malls and shopping centers closed that they were calling it the retail ice age. And, progress is great. But you talk about monopolies, right? And you talk about the way things go. I mean, is Amazon becoming a monopoly? I mean, basically, they're putting everybody out of business. And, is that what we want? And again, I'm not necessarily against it because, I believe in free markets. But how does everybody else, how can everybody else compete? And I'm, like I said, I'm concerned. I mean, I'm not so concerned with me. I'm old, but I am concerned for a lot of the youth and where they're going to go and how we're going to create, not permanent jobs, because I hope that, my people, want to have better than just, working at, McDonald's or whatever. Nothing that's wrong with McDonald's is management. But, again, I want to see, people, progressing and, have an opportunity or be afforded the same opportunities I have. But I'm concerned because there's such a gap right now between, those who have the ability to work, because there are jobs available. But most of the jobs that are available are jobs that most are not qualified for yet. And this becomes the big problem in the middle is how do we get past that? And it'll take time. But it is something that is concerning. And I think that we need to be, more concerned about these things. And I think these are, one of these things will be, the issue. But, we have American men making 20% less money. The average family is making less money than they made in 2000. Okay, that's 17 years ago. And those are not very encouraging signs going forward, especially when everybody's telling us how good everything is. I think, to me, that becomes the bigger problem when you have everybody telling you, the pundits, the companies, we're doing great, we're doing great, we're doing great, and yet we're all making less money, and yet we don't have good health insurance, and yet they're not hiring, and yet we have people, working two and three jobs just to try to escape and get by. So you look at it and you go, doesn't make a lot of sense. And does this look like the final desperation act? Is this where the final money starts flowing in into the market? Now, I will say one thing that I would say probably not, because you get volume. Is it at crippling low levels? I mean, it's like the markets are barely open. When the Dow futures are trading 80,000 contracts when they normally trade 150, it's kind of a sad state as to where we are. When you see the volume continue to fall everywhere, it becomes a very sad story. And again, we can't change it. And again, the market is right, but that's kind of the reason you're seeing this drift. And you can sort of see some of these bursts, late in the day, because dull markets are predisposed to go higher. All right, markets are meant to go up, just based on history, based on what's going on. But you've seen a lot of strange things that are happening, and are we going to actually see? You've got the fear clamors out there, making you tell you that the world's coming to an end. You've got, the advisors telling you that we're going to the moon. And, of course, the markets are totally confused, which is why they're in consolidation. I think that, you know, you have people trying to figure out why oil should be higher, and why should oil be higher? I mean, this is a thing that does not make sense. And, you know, this is not a company that has earnings. Oil is a pure commodity. Okay. Pure commodity should be determined by pure price discovery. All right. So right now the price discovery is lower. Why? And from a fundamental standpoint, why should oil be higher? Tell me, explain to me. All right. If we have an overabundance of supply, which we do, if we have less demand, which we do, because again, we don't have the growth, so it's going to be less demand. If we are getting more fuel efficiency, then why would I expect oil to be going higher anyways? I mean, that's where I don't understand. That's where the logic behind some of these idiots that are speaking about it are trying to make a case for it to do something. But why would I expect any of that to be a case? Because there is no reason for that to happen, because there's too much supply, there's not enough demand, and we've got a 200-year supply, and God forbid we don't get any more fuel efficiency, I think you'd have a bigger problem, right? But, you know, this is the thing that you get convinced to, and I think that's where, you know, the way we've always done it. This is the way we've always done it. And I think that to me, is the bigger problem. Okay, that's the way we always did it. You know, it happens in, you know, I talk to people about, you know, hedging their portfolio, and they go, well, we just rotate. And I go, because that's the way we've always done it. And then when I finally get them to try it, they go, wow, geez, where were you 25 years ago? I said, well, you were too stubborn, because doing it always the way we've always done it. It's the same as, you know, some of the policies that we run and that we think are okay. You know, it's because that's the way we've always done it. Did you ever think maybe the way we've always done it is how we've got into this mess in the first place? Do you ever think that allowing banks to run wild with their lending if they want, and creating new money because that's the way we've always done it? Did it ever occur to anybody that maybe because of the way we've always done it, we've got this position that we're in right now, which is we're making less money and don't have insurance and got problems? Okay, I mean, maybe because that's the way we've always done it is not the right answer. Maybe we do need some change. You know, I remember there was a president that ran for president that promised change. Of course, once he won, he forgot about change. But I mean, in all seriousness, maybe it's time to change. Maybe it's time to figure out a better way to make the system work. Maybe it's time to, you know, turn the power back to the states. You know, maybe it's time to, you know, cut the funding off of these, you know, these sanctuary cities and states. And maybe it's time that we did try something a little bit different, because certainly what we're really good at is building a lot of debt. What we're really good at is creating a lot of bubbles. What we're really good at is having the markets do things that are not realistic at the time. Okay. Now, again, that's the market. Again, that's price discovery, so it's fine. But, you know, we're really good at having the system manipulated by the few. And it seems to me that we're really good at helping the rich get a lot richer while destroying the middle class and the poor. And I think that, to me, those are more problems than good. Okay. I mean, again, you could disagree, and I'd love to hear from you. And as always, I invite you to, you're welcome to come on and debate me on the issue if you'd like to. I have no problem. Listen, I don't say I'm always right. I just try to look at things from a logical standpoint. And to me, what I've seen happen over the last, you know, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is, has not been that logical. It's been a whole bunch of crap that's been building a big bubble. And of course, I just don't like what I see. And I'd like to see some changes as to the way that we do things. But of course, you know, too many people believe, well, that's the way we've always done it, so why would I change it now? And I think that's the bigger issue, is we need to try to affect some change in general so that we can get back to the nation that we all know, where we all have a free opportunity and a fair chance, and that they're not sucking down our capital trying to create phony taxes and phony inflation. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, you know, libertytalk.fm, the only station you need, gets you the Bubba Show, gets you The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, BubbaTrading.com gets you my Bubba's Bottom Line, which I do once a week. And, you know, it's about 6-7 minutes and just me telling you what I'm thinking. In the meantime, I'm going to step out for a break. We'll be right back after with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back to you after the break. We'll be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Bubba Show expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our technical analyst. And Matt, what's up, my man?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
Well, I could be doing better if we could actually get some market action and some movement. I mean, this volatility, you know, down at, 11-year lows is really kind of frustrating for me as a trader. It creates a lot less activity. And, of course, you don't get the kind of follow-through. And one of the things I look at from a trading standpoint is I call volatility the great forgiver. And when you don't get it, it makes it a lot more challenging. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you get a bunch of chop, it's hard to interpret, for one thing. But, yeah, volatility, I have – with the VIX, I actually have a target. It doesn't really make sense right now, but it's in the mid sixes, and it's a rising target. So I don't imagine we're going to actually get to the sixes, but it will cross back up into the nines once we get into about September, which is when we typically get a big sell off. So maybe that's what will happen. Otherwise, it wants to be hit right now in the sixes. So we'll see if we can make new all-time lows in the VIX.
The sixes, geez, that would be like 30% lower than the all-time low. That'd be some kind of rally. So does that indicate that the markets want to rally to you?
No, I mean, I doubt it, and I'm not seeing it in any other indicator that would say that we're gonna that we're gonna get dramatically lower VIX. I do think some markets have a little bit more room to the upside. The NYSE, we talked about that maybe has up to roughly a 12,000 target on it, so that would be about 4% higher than Friday's close. That's possible. NASDAQ, I think, at this point, NASDAQ's super overbought, but on all indicators across time frames. But there's a target I think it's trying to achieve at about 6450 to around 6450. That's another 3% up, so that kind of matches, or another 4%. So we can get a little more, out of those. I don't think the Dow and the S&P have much more. I think the Dow and the S&P are maybe another 1% to the upside, but I don't think that, and Russell 2000, just to round things out, I don't think Russell has much either.
You're right. I mean, obviously, it seems that we're in an environment that nobody cares. Everybody's just kind of, the same old, and of course the cheerleading pundits, I call them, they continue to root the market higher, and I think it looks to me that most of the money going into the market, if you notice the volume at the end of last week, it was about 50% of normal. I mean, the Dow futures were in the 80s, where they're normally in the 150,000 range. And to me, that spells trouble longer term, because it doesn't seem that there's a lot of professional buying going on here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree. Low volume and just choppy markets don't, they say also don't short a quiet market, but at the same time, I don't think they're there's a lot, you know, more to go. So we're going to, you know, we're the market that I'm most short, we're most short of is Euro Stoxx 50. And that, there's one where, you know, we've been short on and off at different resistance points. But here, here's a great place to be short, I think. I don't think Euro Stoxx has any more to go. In fact, we got short going into the French election, and everybody was bidding it up, thinking, you know, that Macron is gonna win, and no, you know, he was so far ahead in the polls that would seem fairly clear. But it was a sell in the news event, and I think that's probably the top for the Euro Stoxx 50. It fits with our price pattern. So,
and what do you use for the Euro Stoxx 50?
Well, you could either do the Euro Stoxx futures, which are kind of difficult to for most traders, because it's not a common offering for most brokers. But you can use the ETFs FEZ or HEDJ, and I like HEDJ because it hedges out the euro currency from the overall picture. So that's the one we're short is HEDJ.
Okay, gotcha. And then, you know, I see that are the commercials starting to pick some of those volatility futures back up again that they sold off?
They are, yeah. They picked up 11,000 contracts last week. Now they're up to about 83,000 contracts net. So that's we're getting, once you get closer to 100,000, you're starting to talk about an extreme level where we've seen bigger sell-offs before.
And are they still pounding down on shorts as well in the futures markets, or have they loosened up a little bit?
They lightened up a little bit this past week. You know, the markets were fairly flat, as you know, just a bunch of chop. They lightened up a little bit, which you know, I imagine if they'd like to sell into strength, so if we get a little bit more strength, I'm sure they will add to their shorts.
Now, do you see, I mean, as you look at these markets, I mean, obviously we had the gap up back to back after the first French election, and you know, and now we're, you know, up at you know, highs, but we've been really pretty much consolidating up here and looking like they're trying to work lower. Those gaps that need to come into play at all for you, or you know, even if we're going to go higher, I mean, obviously it looks to me like we're possibly making a lower high in the Dow. But I mean, again, obviously the markets, when they're so quiet, it's really much more of a challenge. So do you see anything out of that, or does it not mean much to you?
Well, with the Euro Stoxx, with the gaps, I mean, gaps are typically filled, right? So we should probably see, you know, if nothing else, a drop that will close those gaps from the initial spike up on the first round of the French election, like you said. As far as Dow, yeah, Dow is interesting that it hasn't you know, made new highs. I think it has some room to without breaking its bearish pattern. You know, the S&P just, you know, barely broke its March 1st high by about a point or two. It could go, the S&P, the target I have where it would start breaking the bearish pattern would be about 1422. That's 1422 is the line for me. If it goes
above, you mean 2422?
2420. Yes,
no, that's okay.
2422.
Okay.
2422. If we break above that, then we don't have another resistance point until about 100 points higher. So we'll have to see. But I think 1422 is sort of the line in the sand for us. We're not short, but we're looking to add U.S. shorts soon, particularly if, you know, we see the commercials add more to their short positions, and if they add volatility futures and so forth, and if, you know, everything lines up, then we're gonna add more to that.
No, I can understand that, and you know, it seems like, you know, the Russell had, you know, which was one of your weak ones, which made a beautiful movement down, which you specifically called here, and it rallied up all the way back up, and now it seems to be heading down, and it does seem to be the weakest again. Is that of your opinion as well?
Yeah, it's my opinion. I think Russell really, it has a couple interpretations that are all relatively close to each other that I like. I don't think it has, you know, you know, it can chop around up here around with the rest of the indices, but Russell's one that we're very bearish on. We'll assume that its bull market is either done or it's got, you know, another 1% past its April 26th high. It could go another 1% or so, but that's it. Euro stocks and Russell are my favorite shorts.
And I can understand that. I mean, it certainly makes sense. And again, once again, the Russell, it has become, you know, relatively weak in comparison. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, I guess here at, you know, around 1380, it could probably bounce off again. But after making the high, it looks like it's, you know, heading back down and looks like it wants to go back down to that bigger level. So, you know, as we look at that, and of course, the NASDAQ, I mean, obviously, Apple, Amazon, Facebook was this wrong, but I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on. I mean, we're seeing, you know, the 90s again, mm-hmm. you know, just in the way that we're trading, not that it's the same again pattern, because these companies actually make money, but they just, every day you get like five stocks are controlling the entire financial markets. Or you have any opinion about that?
Right. Well, when you have market weighted or, sort of market cap weighted, indices like these, you know, you got those top, you know, five or top 10 stocks, you know, making up a huge portion of the percentage of the overall index. I mean, yeah, those guys are powering everything higher. So yeah, we'll have to watch them to see, you know, I'll have to look into them a little more closely to see what their individual patterns are saying. Cause when they top out, the rest will too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think it's extremely unusual, you know, that but unusual, but typical for the ending of any, you know, cycle. Because, you know, there's very few driving it. And now not only do you have, you know, I think the retail people getting on the same side, but they're now pouring into the same stocks. And I think that always becomes an issue when we see this. And, you know, as we look in your analyzation, I mean, you've been pretty much spot on the bonds and on the Russell. And, you know, we continue to try to find, you know, ways obviously to make money. And you and I don't care, you know, which side of the market it's on, as long as we can make capital. that's all we really care about. And, you know, so I think your work has been pretty solid. And, you know, there's a lot more to go. But when we come back from the break, we'll, you know, talk about more of this stuff. But in the meantime, we are with our guy, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, who, first of all, has been on fire, but also has been the Bubba Show expert and gives us his technical analysis with some of the special things he's built. After all, he's a very smart guy, biochemist. So, but he does do a good job. And this is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And also make sure you check out bubbatrading.com as we continue to bring you more information, try to help you become more successful and better and help you take care of your own personal portfolio. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert. So, Matt, you know, we've got lots happening, but I think the dollar certainly looks like it's headed lower. I mean, it had a little bit of a rally, but basically continues to make lower highs and lower lows. What's your take there, man?
Yeah, well, as we've been talking about, we, you know, continue to see the dollar going lower. Targeting probably our target is 95.75 as of today. It's a rising target. It rises about 5 to 10 cents a week. So yeah, we're still looking for that 95 zone, 95 to 96, for a bottom there. And you know, conversely, with the euro, we were looking for, you know, higher levels in the euro, probably first resistance at 111 and then 114 after that.
Now, of course, you liked the oil last week. You thought that was a good level to get long. And, of course, oil did rally. And, you know, here we are. And in my eyes, I say 48 to 50 is where I want to sell it. I know your level is a little bit higher than that. But what are your thoughts now as we go? We've passed another week.
Well, I like that zone. Right up towards 50 is where I think we're going to hit some resistance. We could go a little bit beyond that. The next level up that I have is in the, I think around 50. It's around 50, actually 54.60 right now. But so we're looking for Yeah, about 49.90 and then 54.60 as the next resistance levels.
All right. Well, and again, and now, you know, I look at, I watch gold and I watch silver. And of course, gold, you know, it been really ugly. And then it kind of found that 1225 level from a few weeks ago and now stayed there. And it just peaked its head above it. What are you thinking of gold here now?
Gold's tough right now because it shouldn't have sold off as much as it did. It went a little, you know, the way my stuff works is it broke a bullish pattern, a short-term bullish pattern, and it really shouldn't have done that if it was just going to, you know, rally back up. Sometimes that happens and it gets back into its bullish pattern, and it's possible. But the way what I like a lot more is silver. We're long silver and we're actually short gold against it as a hedge. You know, it's a good trade anyway, because the gold silver ratio is around 75, which is at the high, historically at the very high end, and even in the short term, it's at the high end. So we're long silver, short gold. I think that's the way to play it. Silver got way more oversold than gold did, and but I would say that, you know, the commercials have been covering their shorts into the drops that we've been seeing. So there, you know, the COT structure in both metals is actually looking fairly bullish. I would not be short gold by itself if we weren't also long silver.
All right, I understand that. Look, I don't think these are great shorting areas anyways, obviously, just from, you know, the way that I look at things. But so I'm in agreement that, you know, I do love silver myself and am long and looking to buy more. And now, when we look at the ag space, you know, as we saw, you know, you were bullish and, I kind of was pretty bearish in, you know, the last couple of weeks. And it looks like we might have peaked in the cattle markets, and it looks like we might have peaked in the hogs. But I know that you might have a little bit different opinion. You might still be bullish. So why don't you give us your shout here?
Well, yeah, with cattle and hogs, I'm still a little more bullish than bearish. We had such a big breakout 2 weeks ago that I think it wants to pull back down to closer to the breakout level before taking back off to the upside. I could be wrong about that. We're looking for a place to buy. We just want to buy it on weakness. And I'm looking at them as a whole at the cow ETF, because it's just the easiest thing for me to chart. I between cattle and hogs, you know, cattle got whacked pretty good to the downside. That's probably an okay buy now. Hogs is a little more extended. It didn't get the same kind of sell off. It's actually been moving up, so now I'd be a little bit more bullish of cattle.
And I'd be looking. I mean, I am bullish cattle and hogs longer term, but I think my view is cattle's got to go down to the regular cattle's got to go down to 115 to 120, which is about another 6 or 7% from here would be where I'd be looking to be a buyer. But you know, we'll see. Obviously, that's what makes the market. And so, what's your take? You know, the grains were fairly flat, but corn remains strong, wheat remains strong, and soybeans kind of remain no big deal one way or the other. What do you think? What do you see?
Well, wheat hasn't done anything wrong. It hasn't really gone anywhere to the upside. I mean, it had a breakout the other week, but you know, now it's pulled back to where it broke out from. So I like wheat here, and I still dislike soybeans. I think they're to me, their soybeans is forming a bear flag, just doing that, you know, that coiling chop that's likely to lead to another big downdraft. So, yeah, I would just stick to what I've been saying, which is long wheat, short soybeans.
There's obviously, again, that's what makes a market. And I think soybeans have certainly could go down 30 cents from here, which would be 940, which is my mind an area where I'd look to be possibly a buyer. But, you know, again, we're dead in the middle. So there's not really anything to go there, which I wouldn't even trade it here. So what's what's going on with the emerging markets? I know that, you know, they started to break out a little bit to the upside. What's your look there?
Emerging markets have had a lot of relative strength, and I think a lot of that has to do with the dollar falling. Because if you look at the EEM ETF, it's pricing all its individual components in their local currencies. So, as a dollar falls, EEM should just go up based on the currency effect. So that makes sense. And I think that ETF will continue up to about 43, and then it will have hit a major top, and then we'll see a sell off there. But at 41 as of Friday, I think it's still got a little bit more room to run, but not a lot. And also, it's up at its upper monthly Bollinger Band, which typically is a pretty good. It's a pretty good speed break. So I don't think it's, it's got a lot more, but 43 is our target.
Okay. Again, like I said, there's a lot of things to look at. And I think that, overall, I think that to me, when I just look at the whole big picture, things just don't make a lot of sense. And things are going, like a falling dollar, falling gold doesn't make a lot of sense, right? I mean, those are things that that kind of are weird about the markets. And, of course, it usually signifies that I think a very big move is coming. Now, I'm going to think it's the downside, but it could be the upside. I mean, certainly I can't predict it. But do you see the same thing in your work, that there's a much bigger move coming?
In stock markets in general?
General markets, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why the commercials have built up positions as they had without, without getting eventually what they want. These guys play for the long term. If they haven't gotten what they wanted yet, then it's still coming, and I think it will be. You don't get into volatility futures unless you think there's going to be a lot of volatility, which typically means a big move. Yeah, in the market. As far as I want to backtrack for a second on gold, it's interesting that when we were putting out our stuff, we're saying we're both bearish on the dollar and bearish on gold, which didn't seem to make sense at the time. But for whatever reason, they've both fallen at the same time. And maybe it's because, people say, well, it's lack of a need for a crisis hedge or whatever, but for gold. But I think what's going to happen is when the dollar does bottom around, that 95, 96 zone, it's going to have a pretty substantial rally. And at that point, I think, additional pressure is put on gold, because we'll get, some lift here in gold short term. But when that dollar starts to rip to the upside, then I think they'll use that, the commercials will use that as a reason to get the snowball rolling down the hill again on gold.
The words, according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, as always, I thank you for being on the show.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. Of course, that was Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, The Bubba Show expert. And, of course, make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And that'll take us to the end of another great show. And as always, have a great day. We appreciate you being here. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. We'll see you tomorrow. Already have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.